So I was hesitant about choosing this gospel for today. It was a peculiar Sunday. There were three gospels from which to choose. And my hesitancy in choosing this gospel was made all the more worrisome when, before the 8 o'clock service ever began, I was bombarded with these two, what I take as criticisms, adverse criticisms. The first was, why isn't there the gospel about the wise men? Well, I said, Epiphany is tomorrow. That's when the gospel is. Although the wise men have actually proceeded down the church and they are now positioned in place. And the next blow to my choice of this gospel came from a figure I highly respect, who said with episcopal authority, I'm not saying who it was, but said with episcopal authority, you do know this is an apocryphal story on the line of George Washington and the apple tree. Well, despite that discouragement, I will now nevertheless plough into this gospel. It is our Greek friend Archimedes, whose name is linked forever with moments of sudden discovery, sometimes called aha moments. The story goes that the king wanted Archimedes to decide whether his crown was fully made of gold or not. And for many days, Archimedes apparently tried to sort out a solution, to no effect. And then one day, while he's in the bath, thinking probably about nothing, he has that aha moment. And the story goes, he jumps out of the bath, runs home naked, shouting, Eureka, Eureka, I have found it. Now, I believe that our minds, but especially our spirits, because they are so eternal, can be laboratories for discoveries such as that aha moment or Eureka moment of Archimedes. I think it is our birthright as Christians that from time to time we are just amazed at a revelation that God shares with us, far beyond our expectation. Though it's not required that we run round wet and naked sharing the news. I think one aha moment occurred a few days for the whole world to see when there was that papal hand swapped, when Pope Francis, jerked backwards by an ardent fan, slapped a woman's hand and looked clearly either in pain or disgruntled, or maybe both. Now, for many people, it appears this was an aha moment. For what we really should know to be true came to many people as a surprise that the Pope, or any Pope, is in fact a human being and subject to human failings. And friends, I do my best week after week to assure you of this truth. I'll let the bishop speak for himself. But thank God that aha moment continued the next day when, ironically, in an address about do not abuse women, he referred to that incident. And what did he do? He made public apology. There's another aha moment when we realize the calling of all people to practice forgiveness, no matter how high their leadership may be in church or in state. Now, I believe that today's gospel from St. Luke shows evidence of aha moments both for Jesus and for his parents. But verse 42 sets the scene for these crucial revelations. Listen. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual. I want to underline that, as usual for the festival. There is much to be said for us to develop habits of worship, of prayer, of meditation, of service, of giving, There's nothing wrong in continually sitting in the same box pew as usual, because the practice of these things regularly is a rich soil in which we can relax and be open to these sudden and unexpected revelations from God. The habitual does not war against the spontaneous, and the known does not dampen rediscovery. And now to the boy, the 12-year-old boy. There was a book written by John Updike some years back in which he mused on the life of Jesus from 0 to 12, and then from 12 to 30. There's not much given, and that's an overstatement. But here's an insight. A 12-year-old boy traveling as usual to Jerusalem with his parents seems to lose track of all time and of all purpose. Now, I feel confident, as you do, it wasn't Jesus' intent to cause his parents distress and alarm, but something happened. It was, I guess, like an aha moment when, as he's going by the temple, he feels drawn into that place. And as he's drawn into that place, he has another aha moment, and he has this sense, I should be here. I should be here having deep, profound theological conversations with those who are by far more learned than I. Now, I don't know how this fits into your understanding of Jesus. I think there are some people who, if they do think about it, imagine that probably from the year one, he was alert to the fact that he was the saviour of the world. Seems a lot to carry for a one-year-old. I think more likely, as he grows, he has these moments of revelation. A sense deepens in him of who he is and what is his purpose. And these moments of revelation are there to strengthen and encourage him. And what I want to point out is this. If Jesus himself has this growth of discovery about identity and purpose, why should we be surprised if we don't share the same experience? Why would we expect it to be all done, all clear, all immediately obvious? Fortunately, that was a rhetorical question. Listen to what Luke says. He was sitting among the teachers. He was listening to them, and he was asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Friends, I believe this was a crucial eureka moment in our Lord's life, as he has this insight of identity and purpose. But his parents also were subject to these aha moments. Listen to Luke, and listen to these words very carefully. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. They were unaware that Jesus was no longer with them. They suddenly realized they'd left him behind. And they have what is probably the most poignant moment for any Christian believer when you or I come to realize that in all our busyness of living, we have left Jesus behind. And we have no sense that he is no longer with us. So we carry on with the assumption that God blesses whatever we say and whatever we do. We carry on with the assumption that God is on our side. He is defending our prejudices and safeguarding our bigotries. But in fact, we've left him behind. And we're not aware that he's no longer with us. And most poignant for parish priests is to discover when a parishioner will share with him or her that after years of faithful church attendance, they have realized that they have never really had a vital and authentic experience of God and the assurance of his love and grace. And I'll let you in on a secret. It can happen to priests as well. Remember Paul? He says, pray for me, lest after preaching to others, I myself may become a castaway. The second revelation for the parents was when they entered the temple. And they observed what only can be called this weird scene. With all the learned teachers gathered around their 12-year-old boy. And their first reaction was more than understandable. They were astonished. But then Mary goes into mother mode and says, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. But then comes another aha moment when maybe in terms of a verbal papal swat, Jesus says to them, but didn't you know I should be about my father's business? I should be in my father's house. Now we're told that the parents did not fully understand. And then what happens is the most beautiful reunion of those three. And they begin on their way back. And Jesus resumes his dutiful position of obedience to his parents, despite what he has realized about his identity and his purpose. Luke concludes the story with these beautiful words. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You see, what we observe in the temple is not a fait accompli, it is not a completed work, it is not a done deed. What we see in the temple gives strength and energy to continue this work of grace. This gospel story urges me to renew a commitment to regularity in prayer, in worship. Well, I have to be here, so that's not so difficult. In reading, in service, and giving. But it also encourages me to look for, to be ready for, those moments of revelation when God will show how much his love and grace is toward me. At the end of the story of the wise men, see, they get their mention in Matthew, we read that they returned home a different way. And many a preacher has taken that line to say, not only did they return home geographically different, but they returned home psychologically, spiritually different. They went back a different way. We can be sure that Jesus, Mary and Joseph returned home to Nazareth a different way. They were a different people. What they had heard, what they had seen, would begin changes in their lives that would come to affect them so deeply. So for 2020, let us be bold. Let us expect from God moments of new revelation, new understanding, so that we, like them, can return to work, to family, to living, to whatever difficult situation confronts us, by a different way, with a different attitude. Amen.